Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight on the Manic Monday show, it's going to be crazy and it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Michelle, are you ready?
Whoa, what a freaking intro. That was awesome. Hello,
are
everybody. Manic Mondays. Hi, Ron.
Are you ready?
I am so pumped. I'm fist pumping over here, okay?
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Are you
no,
ready?
No, I'm not ready.
I'm so excited.
And we're going to kick it off with our theme song tonight, Manic Monday, with Michelle Costa and Ron Rad. Well, tonight we have a great show. Welcome to everyone in the chat room, all the guests that's listening. Welcome. Welcome to the Rad Reality Show. Call in at 347-237-5506. But anyways, and when you do call in, push 1 if you want to talk to the host. Because if you don't push 1, I think you're just listening in.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on this beautiful May 21st, 2012. My name is Cherry Garcia, and I'll be your co-host tonight, along with my friend Paul from Minnesota. And I hope you have your seatbelts fastened and your glass of wine handy, because Michelle Costa has one epic Manic Monday show planned for us tonight. I've been so excited about tonight's show. I really don't even know what to do with myself. Michelle has had this one planned, and I just can't even believe we're about ready to talk to Richard Hatch. How about you, Paul? Are you ready for this?
Are you ready?
Are you ready? I love it when I hear Ron so excited like that. I love that clip.
Me too.
We also have the host of our show, the lovely Portuguese princess herself, Miss Michelle Costa. How are you, Miss Michelle?
Well, I'm telling you, I'm from remote location in Rhode Island, which AKA, I have to say, is where Richard Hatch is probably calling from. So in a radius of Mr. Richard Hatch, I am doing so fantastic. What's up, chat room? I see you guys are ripping it up out there. Cherry and Paul, love you guys. Hope you guys all had a fantastic weekend. Are you guys ready for a crazy, epic, Manic Monday?
I'm so looking forward
to
it.
What? Are you serious? Oh, gosh. Right. Everybody, get your wine. That's all I got to say.
So, everybody, you can chat with Michelle, she's seeing what you're putting in the chat room.
What's going on, chat room? Always representing. And I hope you guys tonight in the chat room, you guys are not shy. I know you're not shy. Like, we're going to have Richard Hatch on. He is accepting phone calls. He has no problems with anything anybody has to say. So I hope you guys got some great questions, because we have a fantastic, wonderful guy that I got to spend quality time with. But, I mean, you guys have seen him on their first ever Survivor, which was in 2000, right? And you guys know that Big Brother, the first year it aired, was 2000. That's right. So that's representing a lot. And we actually talked about this last week, guys. Remember this? When we talked about the fact that Richard Hatch played a reality game show with not having anything to go on. Where we
right.
go, we'll go, you know, we're not going to do this, that. So we're going to definitely talk about that. I think who not better to answer that question but the one and only Richard Hatch. So it's going to be awesome, and I'm excited. So anyway, so how are you doing, Paul?
Say it again, Michelle. There was a beep, and I didn't hear what you asked.
I just asked how you doing.
I'm doing great. Last Thursday, I pulled up and watched that epic Sue Hawk speech at the last Tribal Council on the first season of Survivor. And then earlier today, I watched as four survivors entered the Big Brother 2 house during the final four of them, and there was two from Richard's season and two from Australia's season, and that brought back memories too. Do you guys remember when that happened on Big Brother?
I do remember that. Charlie, do you remember that? I remember
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah.
It was so much fun watching that.
That was great bringing that up there, Paul. I mean, you're going way back.
Yeah, the final four was Dr. Will, Monica, Hardy, and who was the fourth?
Well, like
female.
I said, you're going way back. let's just get
Nicole.
To the point, right, folks? That's right,
yep.
Nicole, our chef. Oh, my gosh,
and
like, that's hilarious.
The survivors that were there from Richard's season were Jervis and Sue Hawk.
Yes, Miss Sue Hawk, who will not spit on anybody that's burning, especially some people, which you know who you are out there. Anyway, we just want to say we love Dina, right, everybody? Cherry
Paul. Absolutely.
We're thinking about Dina.
Don't know, and I'll just make a little announcement here. We all want to say a little prayer for Dina and her family. Her stepfather did pass Sunday night, and just want to say a little prayer for her mom and her family and her. I know she's been going through a lot. Her stepfather was in ICU for 104 days, and she's been through a lot, and so I just want to send a little prayer out. I know our Rad Reality family is very good for that. And I just want to say a little prayer for her. I'm glad she's here with us tonight. And I know she's been going through a lot. So,
well, we're
glad
that she's here with us.
Absolutely.
We love you, Dina. Absolutely. And
yeah.
So let's dedicate the show to Miss Dina. She's fantastic. So hope you guys all enjoy a fantastic show that we have up our little sleeves. Don't we, boys and girls?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is
don't
epic. I can't wait. You know, I was always a big Richard Hatch fan during the first season of Survivor. A lot of people didn't like him. They thought he was, you know, kind of a bully or kind of mean, didn't like his gameplay. But I loved what he did on that first season. And
loved it.
I did. I thought he was great.
Absolutely. I mean, we're talking about, like, I could say this, right? The Godfather of, like, reality, like, TV. And he won it with the attitude that everybody's like, oh, my God, you know, like, every, you know, whatever they say about him, but he won, right?
He won. He went in there, he knew how to put it together. He knew how to build that alliance and play people and walk out a winner.
Absolutely. So You know, and he's been winning ever since. I mean, he's been doing, like, Celebrity Apprentice, Dog Eat Dog. He's been in Australia. They wanted him to come back to Heroes and Villains, but unfortunately, Rhode Island corruption at its finest, which maybe we will dabble a little bit in. We don't want to dabble too much in that because it puts a bad taste in your mouth. You know, you don't want to talk too much about that. But I come to find out that Mr. Richard Hatch was a realtor. So I have a lot more in common with Richard Hatch than I knew. So, you know, he was actually in Malaysia. That's where their first survivor was. It was actually called Borneo when they first actually went to air it. And then
Borneo.
Is it Borneo? I'm sorry.
Yep.
Thank you, Paul. I needed that correction. But you probably can help me with the second one. It's Palau Tiga, Palau, yeah. Okay, there you go. See, exactly. Thank you, Paul. But, so there's just a lot going on, especially being the first ever survivor. That's crazy. So, and then we're going to be talking a little bit about what's going on with a special show that we're going to be having about Ron. Isn't that right, Cherry? Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
It will be on Thursday, on May 31st, which is the actual anniversary date of his passing. And we will be having some special guests on that night, and we will just be remembering Ron. In our special way here on the Rad Reality Show. And we'll be bringing back some of the people who helped him start his show and just remembering Ron. Michelle will be here with us, Miss Michelle Costa, of course, and some of the people who were with him in his early days. And anyone who would like to participate is welcome to join us and talk about Ron and their memories of him. And, you know, we just want to remember Ron. That's going to be our night to remember him. And so it will be on May 31st, the anniversary of his passing, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. So we hope that everyone will join us and just bring your memories of Ron.
Great. So everybody, make sure that you guys attend that. We will not have our Manic Monday, which will actually be on Memorial Day, that Monday. We want you guys to be able to spend time with your family and friends in remembrance of, you know, which last year Ron actually died on Memorial Day. So the dates, you know, the way they end up is that it's on Thursday. So we want you guys on Monday to spend time with your family and friends. Remember those that sacrificed, that you miss, that you love, that were dear to you, and just the people that are still there, spend time with them. So that's what we want you guys to do. So on that note, we're going to also be talking about a little bit, hopefully we'll see how it goes, because I have a feeling we'll be talking a lot about whatever Richard Hatch has going on, because there's a lot. But, oh my God, did you guys watch Mob Wives? What?
Yes.
Oh my God, Reunion, thank you. Thank you so much. Joy, she's so out of her league. Remember how I told you guys that I was like, what is going on with Joy? Oh, my God. Joy, get out now. Do you guys not agree? Is Joy not awkward?
She had no control over the show last night. I mean, and when she was asking them about, you know, the things they say in their regular everyday language, like, you know, what does it mean when you talk out of your face, and what does it mean when you say you're going to war, and, you know, I was just like, what? Do you not watch the show? Have you seen any of the episodes? You know, and she had no control whatsoever. I was just, I don't know why they picked her to be the host. I was so confused.
Yeah, like, she was just like, I mean, I get because she's, like, Italian, but I think she needs to be a little bit, like, she couldn't even act really, like, Italian mob wife-ish. Like, I don't know. It was just so weird. see, come on, you had to have a better options than that, right?
I agree. I thought they would have somebody that knew more about the show or understood the show more and got into it more than Joy seemed to.
Yeah, she was way too boring. But you know what? Thank God that the rest of the cast members aren't boring. And that's why they're on Mob Wives and Miss Joy isn't. Amen. Hallelujah. Because all I got to say is, thank you, Drita, Ramona, Luciferina. We like the female version of Lucifer. What did you think about that, Cherry? That she called herself Luciferina.
I know, Luciferina. Well, I guess if she's going to be Lucifer, I guess she needs to make the name a little feminine and be Luciferina. I don't know.
I mean, I feel like she just is like, okay, everybody's kind of got a name for themselves. Big Ange, she's not involved. She's got her own spinoff show. I'm the only one left. I got to be Miss Pitbull. And, like, she's just always just keeps going and going. And I'm like, I don't feel like I should have to be obligated to listen to her crap because I, like, signed up for Drita. I signed up for Carla, Renee, Karen, and that's it. Like, I didn't sign up for anybody else. Big Ange was a big plus, but Ramona is a big minus, and I'm just over her. But I feel like, you know, she's going to be there, and at the same time, I like her because she brings drama, but, like, don't you kind of want to see Karen and Drita back to where they were, like, before Ramona stepped in, right? Wasn't Karen and Drita pretty normal somewhat, kind of?
I agree.
Yeah.
I believe we have your guest ready
okay,
to come on air.
Let's do this.
Okay. Mr. Richard Hatch, my name is Cherry Garcia. On the line with us, we have, as you well know, Ms. Michelle Costa, and we also have Paul from Minnesota. I want to welcome you to the Rad Reality Show on Manic Mondays.
Hey, Cherry. Hey, babe. How you doing, Michelle? And hey, Paul, whoever you are. How you doing?
Hey, Richard. What's going on? Welcome to Manic Mondays. Thank you for taking time out of, I know what is, your busy schedule to come on here tonight, so thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. You ask, that's what I'm here for.
Well, you know, me and the fabulous Richard got to spend quality time together at Tough Mudder. Isn't that right, Richard? What was your thoughts on the whole Tough Mudder thing?
Quality time, right, like trying to breathe, if you call that quality. Holy crap. That was a handful, but exhilarating.
It was. I actually kind of enjoyed our time before the race started, between you and me, if you remember that. We had spent quality time together observing.
Oh, are you kidding me? Do I remember that? Any single woman who doesn't, like, make an appointment and go hang out at Tough Mudder and then whines about, oh, I don't want to meet anybody in a bar and all this other crap, just go commit suicide because that's just ridiculous.
So what you're saying, get rid of this, Plenty of Fish or whatever, toughmudder.com. If you're single, ready to mingle, go there. You'll find a date. Because there's a lot of revealing situations that happen there, right, Richard?
I've never seen more handsome, outgoing, outdoorsy, fun-loving guys in one place in my entire life. 11,000 people, and I would say the majority were single, available, interesting men with jobs and just there for fun. I mean, what?
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
You know what? You said it in a mouthful, Richard. You know what? It's exactly how it was. It was, honestly, you guys, if you're ever going to do something like Tough Mudder, not only is it something that for yourself to reach, but you have to see the people. Like, they get together as teams. They get together as families for causes. I mean, I saw a lot of shirts like, you know, Team Cancer, and me and Richard spent a lot of time throughout the course here and there. He was going off on his own, I was, and then we'd find each other. And, you know, throughout there was always people that were there talking, that were fighting for something. So it was really, truly kind of like, an amazing experience to watch that. Isn't that what you felt, Richard?
Yeah, I really did. I mean, I think, well, everybody there is helping the Wounded Warrior Project, but they're also there for their own kind of causes too. And it's just the vibe, I guess, is what I want to call it. Everybody's upbeat and challenging themselves and alive, because if you're doing the Tough Mudder, you're alive, and you're telling yourself you're alive, and your body's learning that it's alive, and you're challenging yourself, and it's just a really, really, really great day. I loved it.
Now, was that the first time you did something like that? Like, have you ran before, like doing 5Ks and stuff like that? Or I'm talking about doing events like that, because they do have a lot of Spartan races and zombies chasing you. Is anything that extreme that you've done before?
I've done all kinds of. I mean, I went to West Point. I was in the Army. I've been through basic. I run a lot. Those kinds of things, but it was very different from that. This was a real challenge. I've done obstacle courses in the military multiple times. This is like an obstacle course on steroids.
Yes, agreeable.
Richard, this is Paul from Minnesota. Don't you know? I was in the Army as well, and I went through basic training, and I've seen videos of the Tough Mudder, and if there's a word stronger than steroids, I agree with you. That is insane.
Yeah, but it was really fun to be there with Michelle and to do it. I mean, I really liked it.
And I'm sure that it was something that was like kind of like off your bucket list, Richard. Like, could you say, like, that's probably out of the norm? I mean, to accomplish something like that is amazing. And hopefully you'll be there in July. Are you going to be able to make it there with all of us in July?
Yep. I'm scheduled for July again. I'm trying to get some other folks from other reality shows to join us and see what happens. But, yeah, I'm on board.
Wow, making even bigger of Team Reality. I mean, we had a great team, Richard, didn't we? I mean,
I
Biggest
so.
Loser. We had Real World. We had Miss Rhode Island. You know, Survivor,
Amazing
Big Brother.
Race. Don't forget
Amazing
Louis.
Race. Absolutely, Louis.
Hey,
he rocked it.
Yeah, it was fun. It was really fun. So hey, can we talk about today's news? You won't even know what I'm talking about, but
okay. You know what, Richard? You go for it. Do whatever you want to do. What are we talking about? Tell me.
Have you been seeing? Did you see what happened today with? Do you remember Tyler Clemente, the gay guy who jumped off a bridge and killed himself from Rutgers University?
Wait, are you
yes.
talking about the one where his roommate like filmed him and stuff?
Exactly.
Okay,
the
yeah,
roommate.
I do.
That trial. Yes, I the trial was going on or was wrapping up. What's the verdict?
What?
The roommate sentenced today.
Oh, to what?
30 days. And I
what?
Couldn't.
Are
could
you
not be
kidding
happier.
Me?
No, I'm very, very happy. Let me explain why. The guy's name's Darun Ravi. And you know what he did? He filmed his roommate, and the roommate was Tyler Clemente, and Tyler was gay, and he was engaged in sex with some guy when Darun was filming the room. And everybody, you know, he got charged with 15 counts of all kinds of, you know, awful things, and he was found guilty of all 15 counts. And I am so critical of our system, I can't even tell you from having lived through what I've lived through. But this Judge Glenn Berman, saw through it all and made a sensible ruling. This kid's 20 years old, and it's not that he did something so heinous, I don't think. Sure, it's insensitive, it's wrong, you shouldn't be filming, you know, your roommate secretly. But that's a college prank that kind of almost anybody does. There's no violence involved. The heinous thing is what people think about, you know, catching a guy in a gay act. We all have sex, and it happens. And because society thinks of it still so negatively, that's what led Tyler to his own kind of suffering enough to kill himself. So, boy, oh, boy, I was blown away to hear that this judge actually saw through it all. He got 3 years probation, but only 30 days actual jail time. And he could have faced up to 10 years, which I would have fought. I mean, I just would have been so angry if that had happened. What do you think?
Well, you know, like, it's very interesting the way you look at it because, you know, it's like kind of being subject to somebody's mind. You can't really say this is why they killed themselves,
right.
You know, because of this person's action. Maybe it could be the action of what it really is, and it was too much for him to deal with other people knowing. You can't have the control of somebody's mind and know why they do certain things. So that I absolutely understand. Did they ever state what his point was to film? Like, what was the point for him to film it? What was going to be
the point of the film? I will interrupt there, and I think, Michelle, that Richard already touched on it. It's that age. It's that environment. It's anybody. And, you know, I shouldn't say anybody, but there's a lot of pranksters, and, you know, and it was just a prank. I mean, if he could foresee the future and find out that this is what would have happened, he probably wouldn't have pulled the prank. Would you agree?
I totally, totally agree with you. And what gay guy or other straight guy or whatever wouldn't put a camera in college as a college prank to catch, you know, a guy and a girl together? I mean, it's absolutely.
You know, I don't think it was like a gay or whatever issue. I think he would have put the camera up no matter what.
Probably, you know. I mean, because he was gay, maybe that had something to do with it, because that's just a little bit more like, oh, man, my roommate, he's gay, he's not out, you know, whatever. And I get that. That's insensitive. And that's something that, you know, you could talk to this guy, Darun Ravi, about. And I'm sure you wouldn't even need to talk to him at this point. There's no way that he doesn't get it, you know. But people in general, let's look at our culture. Why is it that anybody gives a crap who someone else is having sex with if they're consenting adults? Who cares? I mean, it's funny or whatever is your college, but it could be just a guy and a girl just as much as two guys. I mean, I don't know. I'm over this whole...
Richard. I'm over it. I think there's really no point to it. It's a waste of time. But unfortunately, that's what happens. And... the more we talk about it, maybe the more the quicker it will go away.
Yeah, I would hope.
Do you know what I mean? If we stay silent, we don't talk about it, we kind of shrug it off, it's going to continue being talked. For me, I'm just like, let me address it, and let's get over it and move on to the next, because there's going to be something else we need to address. It's never going to end, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're still second-class citizens, gays, because this country still hasn't, you know, gotten its head around the idea that people are people. We can't marry. You know, many of us in this country believe that we're making progress, and we are, because states allow us to marry, but it's still not recognized federally. My marriage to my husband of 9 years, it's not recognized federally. We're recognized all over the world and all other industrialized nations, just not my own country. I mean, it's absurd.
But you know what, for me, Richard, like, I think, like, a marriage is for somebody to love somebody else through the bad, through the worst, through the great, through the good, through the poor, through whatever, and whether that is male, female, male, male, female, female, like, it, you know, whatever is takes you to that point, like, 9 years for you and your partner, like, amen. Good job. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
That's awesome. How many people can say that they do that, no matter what type of their preference of sexuality or whatever? So for me, like, I like to see the people that achieve love after so many years. Like, now you hear people divorcing after, like, 3 months. So amen Richard.
And we love each other more than we ever did. I mean, I'm the luckiest man alive. He's such an amazing human being.
Well,
but
I love those kind of stories, and I congrats to a successful relationship. That says a lot to be with somebody that long.
Amen. Amen. That's like my point. Like, love is love. That's what marriage is about, you know. Marriage is blind. It doesn't see good, ugly, bad, whatever. You can be two of the most gorgeous people, and it doesn't even work out. That doesn't matter. It's when you go through all the bullshit, and if you can make it through all of that. And, you know, and we're not talking peaches and cream, because that's not reality. The hardships make you stronger and keep you going, and know that you can overcome that next obstacle. So it's kind of ironic, like the whole Tough Mudder thing. It's like these obstacles and that we go through it. We're like, we can't do it. There's like ice in it and it's cold. And like, it's kind of like going through like obstacles in your life. Isn't that true, Richard? Like, you know, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. Very, very similar.
Hey,
and go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. No, I was actually going, you talked about Tough Mudder and I was going to actually switch gears and ask if you, what your experience was like out in Reality Rally. But if we want to continue with what we're talking about, I apologize for switching gears there.
Oh, that's okay by me. No, Reality Rally was awesome. It's one of the things, you know, Tough Mudder was an awesome challenge, and you know, Michelle and I and the rest of the team really enjoyed doing it, and we were raising some money, you know, just by being there for the Wounded Warrior Project. But you know, one of the most rewarding aspects of whatever fame or notoriety I have is the ability to raise money for worthy causes. And Reality Rally out in Temecula, California, this was the second year, and she'll keep it going, Jillian Larson's project.
Amazing.
Oh,
it's amazing. Raises money for Michelle's Place and breast cancer, and it was an awesome, awesome event. The entire town was involved, and we really, really had a great time. And I don't know the total amount, but it was just an enormous amount of money that they raised for this cause. It's just so awesome to be able to do that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, Richard, like, I was there last year, had a pleasure of hanging out with you. I mean, the amount of people. And do you know the story, Richard, of how Jillian thought about this? She actually was on Ponderosa, and she started thinking about it. She had gotten evicted 5 days into Survivor, and she was in Ponderosa, and this is where she came up with the whole idea of doing this charity. I mean, you might not know what Ponderosa is because, you know, you are the first ever winner of Survivor, which, hands down, I think you are the god of all reality shows because... We talked about this last week, and what we talked about is you went in there blind. Like, yeah. I went into Big Brother, and I knew, okay, I could do the good guy, the bad guy. I got a game plan. You went in there not knowing what kind of game plan, what to do, good, bad, good guy, whatever. Like, how did you do it? Looking back on all of it now, what is your whole aspect of it?
I just had to think through what it was we were supposed to do. And all of us were told, you know, a little bit about the game and what was going to happen. There were lots of surprises that we didn't know, but I knew enough to plan and I knew enough to stay focused. And I knew that I was going to need to build an alliance. So I did it early without some of the members even knowing that I was bringing them into the fold. And that's kind of cool. It did start the whole alliance thing. But I knew I needed that group to get through to the end. In that first show, most of the other contestants, you know, were really, really clueless. They were just having fun and crying and being friends and all of that. But the entire time, all I could think about is, you're next, and then you're next, and $1 million. And I even was telling people very, very clearly and directly, if you look back at my season, look, you know, no offense, you know, you're a great guy, you're a great gal, whatever, but you're gone, babe, you're next. And they would laugh, and then they would be gone.
Go ahead, Paul. That's awesome.
No, I was going to say one of the other differences from your season to recent seasons of Survivor is you guys also, in addition to you strategizing, Richard, everybody was really trying to survive.
True. True. I lost a pound every day. You know, we didn't get food that they get now. We won some kinds of fruit or something else occasionally on a challenge, but, we were really – it's something to live and to be so – engaged in such a mental game, plus all the physical challenges, and have no food. It was truly exhausting. It looks tough on TV, but it's even tougher than it looks.
Can you believe all the things they're giving them now in the survivors of today?
Oh. Yeah, Charlie,
what's your outlook on that?
I think I know why. I mean, there came a point, I think it was with Survivor, the third one in Africa, where the contestants were just so depleted that they were boring to watch.
Good point.
They're even giving them Sears toolboxes now. I mean,
yeah.
Or at least they did on one of the survivors. I couldn't believe they were giving them all the tools to build their you know, camps and everything. It's just amazing to watch the progression and see how much they give them each season. You know, they give them more and more and more to have it at their camps. And you just wonder, you know, what next season's going to be, because every season they get something else and more. And, you know, it's like one of these seasons they're just going to come up and they're going to have cabins there for them or something.
Exactly.
Well, each of the changes that they make in all of these additions, I think, are based on, testing and what makes for better viewership. And if the contestants are vibrant and more alive, then they're craftier and they have more emotion and more opinion. And it just makes, I think, for a little bit better TV. And I agree with you, though, that, you know, balancing that with the kind of more raw and real kind of game that it was in the first season, you know, that's a call for the producers to make. But I think I know why they get a few more things. I think it just makes the game a little bit more interesting to watch.
I mean, I think, honestly, like, by far, that Your Survivor was the best ever. And, you know, maybe I'm a little partial because I am from Rhode Island and I have to root for, you know, a true Rhode Islander. Like, come on now. But you guys have to give it to him. I mean, he was, like, just the first one out there. He ripped it up. He teared it up. He told people what was on his mind. It wasn't like he was, like, you know, going behind everybody, whatever. Like, he was doing his thing and won it. I mean, hands down, you got to give it to you. Like, Richard, you played an awesome game. So what are your thoughts on how I personally think that you probably thought Kim was going to win from the beginning. So what are your thoughts on this year's Survivor winner?
I really did. I think hands down she's one of the best to ever have
awesome.
Played the game.
Awesome.
And the reason I think that is because she was bright enough to have a focus on playing it and at the same time telling the viewers what she was doing but not disclosing that to her fellow contestants. She did it brilliantly. She really played smoothly, and the jury recognized and rewarded her. Yeah, I thought she was great.
Hands down, I think that she played a ridiculous game. She had it from the beginning. For me, I thought she had it hands down. Now, what do you think about players like Colton? What do you think about happened with him? You know, they are talking about having, you know, past survivor people coming back, and you know, it's upsetting to hear that, you know, you could have came back for villains versus heroes. I would have loved to have you back. What are your thoughts on hearing that you could have came back to Survivor? Like, how did you feel knowing that?
I was invited. They created Redemption Island with me in mind to go against Russell, but the prosecutors withheld my passport and fought against me going. I mean, it's just, they're such crooks, criminal. They're just bitter, and I can't even get into just how bad it is here in Rhode Island, the corruption and how absurd all of the waste, the millions they've spent persecuting me when I've done nothing wrong. But whew, did I get off track a little bit there? Yeah,
I just say, Richard, I am from, like, a lot of times I go off on a tangent and I'm like, you guys got to understand, like, Rhode Island is the littlest state with the biggest, baddest attitude. And guess what? If you're not ready for it, beat it. Beat it. Because this state is hardcore. And I totally understand. Do you want to just, you know, I'm sure a lot of people listening, Richard, there's people probably want to call in. They're going to ask certain questions. Do you want to just touch a little bit about it? Maybe just give your side of it and on stuff like that. Because I've been here. I know more than a lot of people now because listening, reading it, being here. But I only know a little bit. It's what they want you to know. Can you just elaborate on what you've been dealing with?
Sure. I mean, most people get bored as soon as you say taxes, but, you know, real briefly, it's I've never been involved with the system before this. I did everything I thought I was supposed to do. My accountants prepared the returns. You know, I have attorneys and accountants who were representing me the entire time. And we filed the returns exactly as directed by the IRS to do so. And they told us that if there were going to be questions, they would contact us and let us know. And all along, my attorney and accountant were engaged with the IRS, and I kept paying them over a year, year and a half, whatever, and like, what on earth? Is this resolved yet? Is it finished? What's going on? Just tell us, and we'll write a check if we owe anything. I have never not paid a cent of tax that I have ever owed. The truth is that there were taxes owed in Malaysia that by contract, survivor contract, and international law were required to have been paid before we left the island. So there was confusion about who paid that, who was supposed to pay that. They were supposed to be paid by CBS or the Survivor Entertainment Group, not by me. Clearly, I didn't have the money at the time we left the island. And that's just law. That's just common sense. And it's bitter, corrupt prosecutors who withheld exculpatory evidence and did all kinds of other things that they shouldn't have done, who were just determined to win at all costs and don't like that I speak out about it. And instead of being sensible, they wanted to use the caricature that was created of me, that negative persona that people perceived me to be based on, you know, all the media after the first show when people didn't really understand Survivor. You know, initially people were like blown away by what I did and thought of it kind of negatively until they got to understand what the game was about. That now they get it, kind of, and they're like, wow, you played well. But anyway, so the prosecutors piggybacked on that, and we've spent the last 10 years fighting them. I spent more than 4 years in prison for nothing, and there's likely no chance of my ever getting all of the truth out because, you know, nobody really cares, and the system is not designed.
Do you think that you were made an example of, and they just really didn't have enough or really anything? They were kind of going with your name, to use an example, but just didn't have the backup for it. I mean, it really is disgusting, and it's ridiculous.
It's disgusting, and that's exactly what happened. And that's not a question. That's what the IRS does. That's the IRS policy. They cannot go after everybody. So they go after the people that they think are going to be have notoriety, that they think they're going to get some mileage out of. Well, in my case, I didn't do a damn thing. I've filed my returns every year of my life. I've paid every penny I've ever owed in tax. And I've always been willing to pay anything that they tell me I owe. And so they didn't even do an assessment. And these prosecutors stepped in and converted it from a civil inquiry, which is just, you know, what was going on, the conversations when we were cooperative, my attorney and accountant with the IRS, to a criminal prosecution. Out of the blue, after a year and a half of full and complete cooperation. Just bullies. That's on a witch hunt. That's all it is. And it was win at all costs just because, you know, then they get promoted or whatever else. It's just been an abuse of the system beyond description. But what I've learned, the worst part of all of it, that's our court system. That's why I'm so happy about this judge who was reasonable in his sentence with Ravi, saying, hey, you shouldn't have done that. But look, you know, it's not a years-long sentence, a waste of your 20-year-old life and taxpayer, money. It's crazy. So Rich, our prisons are chock full. Go ahead.
Richard, I did a little bit of my homework and looked up, you know, some of the things you had been through. And
cool.
I read where you had spent the last 9 months for not amending those tax returns when it is not possible to amend tax returns that are subject of an ongoing audit pending before the U.S. tax court. How
Correct.
Can they put you in jail for something that is against the law?
Corruption at its finest.
Because a bigoted, ignorant, corrupt judge can do whatever he wants, period. There's no oversight. They get away with murder, literally. I did not amend my returns. The probation officers never asked me once to do anything that I didn't do, and this judge didn't care. The expert testified that it's not possible for me to amend the returns. It's not. You can't amend returns that are the subject of an ongoing audit when you're waiting for the tax rule.
So, like, it's like your hands are tied, like they are setting you up for failure. And for me, it's like, first off, a lot of this has to do with your survivor winnings, and yet you're being asked if you weren't dealing with this bullshit, if you ask, I'm going to just say blunt, this fucking bullshit, excuse me, that they would put you on fucking Survivor without a doubt. So if you did anything wrong, how can they invite you back on the show that supposedly you didn't pay your taxes on the winnings? It doesn't make sense.
No, none of it makes sense. People just don't understand the simple details. This is me, who's not a stupid human being. I'm a pretty bright guy, and I was doing everything that my attorneys and my accountants asked, everything the IRS requested, we provided when they got involved. I have never, ever not done anything that the courts or they have ever asked, and it's just it's truly bullying. It's part of our society. You know, witches, which never existed. Women were burned at the stake as witches, and the judges who sentenced them to burn at the stake, you know, nothing's ever happened to them. We still are hunting witches today. We're still a superstitious nation without a system that's objective enough to seek truth. It's about bullying and politics and this back door, particularly in a little corrupt state like Rhode Island, crap. You know, it's awful. It's really, really awful.
I can't imagine how you can sit in prison for that long and come out and not have just hate in your heart. I'm so glad that you're still so positive and happy, and you know, you're happy in your relationship and your life, and you go on to do these wonderful things, and you're still giving to charities and doing awesome things with your life. Because I think if someone had done that to me and set me behind bars for 4 years for something I didn't do, I don't know if I could come out being that productive and happy. I would be so angry.
Oh, I thanks, Cherry. Yeah, no, I'm angry, and I'm.
What
and
doesn't
I'm,
kill you makes you stronger, though, right, Richard?
And I'm a kind of articulate guy, so I'm trying to help people understand. Not just for me, you know, I'm through it, and I'm still fighting them, and they're still being bullies. They've got my passport. They're requiring me to pay 25% of anything I earn toward whatever might someday be determined to be owed for 2000. I mean, it's they're going above and beyond to just be awful bullies to me, but you know, I'm still fighting. I'm still trying, hopeful that maybe someday people will see what we're doing to one another, see what we've done with a system that's just not working. When you hear a verdict, when you see the media say things about people, just be more skeptical. You know, think a little bit on your own. I just had a really awesome tattoo put on my back a few days ago. And it's called Seek Truth, Question Everything. You know,
absolutely.
Think objectively, a little more skeptically, and you'll be the better for it.
Absolutely.
Somebody in the chat room was wondering, as you were relating, you know, how the taxes in Malaysia and all that type of thing, it almost sounded like CBS should have had some counseling or had some responsibility to let you know, is it possible to sue CBS for not, you know, giving all the good information?
Well, here we go back to the legal system again, and our system's broken, because here I am in prison, you know, for those 4 years, and you know, I have attorneys and accountants and everything fighting and all of that. Meanwhile, the time has passed. There's something called I forget what it is, glitches or
glitches. Statute of limitation?
Yeah, that keeps you from doing that. But the truth is, it was the first reality show of any network television. It was the
first ever
contract. And CBS and SEG, their lawyers just had them step back and you know, look, let's not get involved with this. I will say that the CBS publicists blatantly lied to the media, intentionally and blatantly lied, and that's pathetic. But other than that, I think, you know, they were told by the companies were told by their attorneys to step back and stay out of it, And it was really disappointing because the publicists were people I knew and well and kind of considered friends, and they would say to the media that there's no truth to anything that Mr. Hatch is claiming. And you know that's a lie because the publicists weren't there when I talked about what things were happening. The publicists didn't know, so they could have said, "Look, we have no comment," or we don't think there are facts to back up what Mr. Hatch is saying, but they blatantly lied instead. And all of that contributed to the negative caricature that the media developed of me and portrayed. Cherry, you're right. It's just very, very difficult to not be really, really angry, but to move forward, and at the same time still determined to help people understand what we're all subject to here in what we think of as a free country. It really isn't, sadly.
Right. Hey, I've got another Survivor question for you. Your season of Survivor at the final tribal, you had, as I recall, a treasure chest of $1 million in cash and no big production in Hollywood or New York City and, waiting. Would you have liked to have had one of these finales that they're doing nowadays, or what are your thoughts?
We had a big finale. What they're talking about on what you must be seeing is somebody referring to, we're the only season that was filmed all the way through to the reveal. So
the reveal, that's right. Okay.
We went all the way through. We shot the show. We went completely through it. And when they voted for me as to win, that they continued to film and they turned it over. And it was a closed set on the tribal council, and very few people knew. And we were all supposed to keep it secret, until months later when that winning episode aired. And that was so difficult and made CBS almost insane that from the next episode on, they've never done it. They withheld the counting of those votes between the final two or three until the actual live finale. So mine was the first.
It's probably because, first off, that was the best ever, hands down, winning moment on a reality show, because if I remember correctly, you had the pleasure of having Miss Susan Rudy on your show, and Susan probably had one of the best comments ever. And I'm sure, Richard, you probably remember this better than anybody can, but when she said if the person was burning, she would not spit on them. What were your thoughts on that being probably the comment heard around the world, at that point, winning something like that and then having that comment, I mean, that was just out of control. That was amazing.
It really was amazing. But the comment came before I knew I won, before the winning votes were revealed. And it was Sue's effort to get jurors to vote for me. Sue had come to dislike her partner that she thought she was playing with, Kelly. And so she was trying to convince the other jurors to not vote for Kelly and vote for me. And so she gave that rat and snake speech and said she wouldn't give give Kelly water if she was dying on the side of the road. But she was so harsh and so negative that she actually convinced people, at least one of the jurors, Colleen, to devote against me when she was really – she had been planning to vote for me. And, frankly, we weren't too surprised by Sue's speech, because Sue's a little kind of, from my perspective, out of touch with stability. And so we'd heard a number of those speeches over the time that we'd been out there for 39 days.
Wow. Well, do you talk to any of them? Have you seen Susan, Rudy, any of them?
Well, Rudy and I've seen many, many times, and Rudy and his wife, I consider friends, and my mom got to know his wife and stuff, and Rudy's wife died a year and a half or so ago.
He had cancer also, didn't he?
No, he didn't have cancer.
I think I'm thinking of someone else. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, Ethan. You must think the winner, the third winner. Ethan Zone's been battling Hodgkin's lymphoma, but he's out of the hospital and doing well, too. But Rudy was the 64-year-old Navy SEAL who they put he and I on a team together so that we would kind of clash and there would be sparks and we probably wouldn't like each other. But, you know, that backfired
on them.
We got along.
I mean, you guys were awesome. I mean, I loved you and Rudy, absolutely, because you guys had that military background, and you guys hit it off. I mean, it was great watching you. And how did you feel about your nakedness on that? We didn't really talk too much about that. I actually liked it. I was like, you know, balls to the walls, go for it. But did you probably got a lot of backlash on being, you know, just free.
Well, you know, there were, you know, most of what I did, I planned, and there were reasons for what I did. Again, I'm a pretty bright guy, and one thing I knew was that CBS would never show it on air. Well, I'm on a deserted island in the middle of the South China Sea, so I didn't have to worry about anybody seeing anything on TV. I knew darn well that would never happen. And I also knew that all the cameramen were straight, and that when I was naked, they didn't want to be anywhere near me. So I got more and free time because of being naked than anybody could imagine. It was great. It wasn't until about halfway through the show when the camera crew realized, holy crap, that fat naked guy is still here. He might have a chance. We better get more footage. You know, it was pretty funny.
Hey, we've heard that some of those speeches at the final tribal sometimes get a little long, and the viewers see an edited version. Did we see all of Sue's? Was that all of Susan Hawk's speech, or was there more to it?
I don't know. I don't remember the exact length of what was actually shown, the final version. But, you know, there are hundreds of hours and multiple cameras shooting footage, so you only get 13 hours of that, and less than that, 13 40-minute segments with commercials and all of those hundreds of hours of tape. So what you get is real, and what you get is me, but it's a condensed version, you know, so you get a more heightened sense of different pieces of people's personalities. And so I'm not sure if every word of Sue's speech was there, but certainly you got the majority of it and most of the gist of it.
All right. We also had a chat question earlier. You did comment on Kim for this season, but how about past Survivor seasons? Who do you put up there along with Kim as being somebody that really played a great Survivor game?
Well, you know, there are many people who have, and more lately, who've started to come, you know, to be players. For many, many years, it was actually kind of frustrating for me to watch and to see how few people play the game. And still, I would say the majority don't really even know the game, which is hard for me to fathom when you've been selected as a contestant to not figure mm-hmm. out what the game's about before you get there. But people like Sophie from a recent season who won, who was a really good player. People that haven't won, Rob Cesternino. There are a number of folks who get the concept, but for one reason or another, just didn't quite, you know, make it all the way. You know, everybody can't win, and sometimes you just get circumstances that you can't overcome. So There are a number of people throughout the years. Brian Heidick was another, you know, really skillful player who won. You know, I can't remember all the names. There are a lot of people who play well. Parvati played really well.
Yeah.
Now, Richard, if you came back, like, how would you play? Because, of course, you would know automatically you would have to have a target on your back. What do you think, going from back then to now, because it's certainly changed, what would be your strategy to try to make sure you made it enough to the end so that you can get to the vote?
I think now a number of people, most people, realize that it's valuable to have a bright player, someone who really gets the game along for as long as you can take them. You know, at first, like with All Stars, they made a pact, all the contestants did, to get rid of all the winners, boom, 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 one after the other, which they did. so I went fifth. But I think now people realize, wow, you really should bond with somebody and who plays really well and take them as far as you can. And you don't have to, you know, take them all the way. You can get rid of them toward the end. But I don't think it will be too much of a problem to help people understand that you know, that they would benefit from having me around for a good long while.
What did you think when you saw the entire tribe? What did you think when you saw the entire tribe giving up their immunity this season?
Horrible.
Yeah, you know, that's something. You know, I can't remember exactly when that happened or why. I lose track of the seasons because there are 400 and something contestants now. Whenever anybody gives up immunity, and it seemed to happen over and over and over and over, you've just got to think, you know, really, are you that unaware of what this game is about? There are reasons to do so, and you do need to take risks and play hard if you're going to expect to get to the end. But
this
I don't know if I can give
it was the first time an entire tribe got together and willingly gave the other tribe their
ridiculous.
Yeah. But that was because they wanted to get rid of a particular person, right?
Yeah, they wanted to get rid of someone. But, you know, that's when you sit back and you wait until, you know, you lose one, and then you know who you're going to vote out next, you know, but you don't give up your immunity.
Well, that's an intelligent perspective. That's great, Cherry. That's what
it's a numbers game.
Should happen. But when you're there and somebody's so obnoxious, it's tough. to think, and that's part of why I won, is because people had such trouble retaining a focus and thinking through the whole game.
Patience. Look at the big picture. So many of them get so focused on the now and not the big picture.
Yeah,
but you've
got to
remember that's
game.
Hard to do all when you've got no food and you're exhausted and you're not sleeping.
That's why we're at the reality show,
to make us nuts. that's why we're not. We're just a little out of tune. Ain't that right, Richard?
Exactly right.
Yep.
We have a caller on the switchboard. Would you guys like to take a call?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's do this. Mr. Boom Boom Ben Holder, how are you? Thank you for calling the Red Reality Show on Manic Mondays.
Hey, Ben, what's up? Richard's on the line. Do you have a question for him?
Oh, I do. But first, what's up, Michelle, my belle?
What's up, Ben? How are you? Miss you to pieces.
Love you. Hi, Paul. Hi, Cherry. Hi, Stratus. And hi, Mr. Hatch.
How you doing, Ben?
Not too bad. I was friends with the creator of this show. We used to talk about getting you on someday. And I just got a call at work. Somebody said you were on the show, so I had to call in real quick and say hi.
Well, I appreciate it. Hi to you, too.
So I do have a couple of quick questions for you.
First off,
what do you think of the upcoming Survivor 25, the Medical Island of Misfits edition?
Well, like every season, the producers really have to think, what can we do to keep it interesting? And there have to be little twists, little additions. There just have to be. If it were the same game over and over and over and over and over exactly, it would have worn it out its welcome by now. So this is just one twist that I think it'll be interesting to see. These guys, the three of them that are on, you know, really wanted to play, and they felt gypped by having gotten, you know, forced out medically. And so it'll be interesting to see whether or not they have the skill to stay longer than they did the first time, or whether the contestants fear them and get rid of
them. Wait, do we know who the three are? Like, do you guys think that the commercial did justice? Like, I don't know. Who do you guys think is the three? Russell, Colton, and who else?
Tanner.
Because I'm getting a lot of people saying that it's definitely not Colton. Come on now. It has to be Colton, right?
Well, I can't say because I know.
Oh, come on, Richard. We won't tell anybody besides who's listening.
One of them is Mike.
The room.
I will tell you it is not Colton.
Okay,
I don't think
Colton
is
in
there either.
That's what I heard. I heard Colton wasn't in it, but everybody would think so because of how he was taken out. And, you know, I think he got a bad rap. Like, Richard, what do you think about Colton? What's your
I don't think he got a bad rap. I think he was awful. I think he was a despicable human being and was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a young kid, so I have some compassion for him being stupid. And if he were apologetic, you know, I was at the finale live, and he had an opportunity to
set
straight.
Yeah,
and
we thought he didn't even try. He really didn't give a crap about it. So you were there. What did you think?
Yeah, no, I think he blew it. I think his ego and his callous kind of sickening sense of superiority for what reason I don't know kind of still maintains a hold on him. His mother was sweet and she did her best and that helped, but he himself needs to really kind of get a better grip on who he is and how kind of off-putting and mean-spirited he can be. You know, he's not funny. I didn't even want to watch while he was playing. I don't spend time with people like him, and I don't want to spend time watching them on television either.
Yep, I agree.
Well, speaking of that, Richard, what do you watch on TV? Let's just skip the bullshit and let's get to Richard. We want to know what Richard does in his spare time in the beautiful. Are you still in Newport, Rhode Island, Richard?
I am. Yeah, I love Newport. It's a beautiful.
It's gorgeous. Gorgeous.
It's easy to get to Providence or Boston or New York from here, and yet it's a nice, quiet pace of life. I'm, you know, right near the oceans. I'm moving in,
Richard. What the frick? Let's just get this over with. I know you've been dying to ask me. I know it's been awkward, but I'm moving in. Don't worry about it.
Come on down, baby. You don't even need to ask. You know that.
Oh, gosh. So I want to know, what has Richard got on his DVR?
Mm. Well, you know, I try to watch quite a bit. You know, having been on Celebrity Apprentice, I watch that. And Survivor, I always watch that. I really enjoy the competition singing songs, singing shows, because, you know, like Idol and the Voice and...
All right, well, let's talk about The Voice and The Idol after. Let's talk about The Apprentice, because, of course, you were on Celebrity Apprentice. And can I get, do we have, a clip with, applause and everything? Because, you know what, off the hook. I thought you did such a wonderful job.
Thank you,
Michelle.
Yes, Paul.
Hold on, just one second. Ben is still calling from work, and I just wanted to make sure he was able to get his question we switch to Apprentice.
I'm sorry.
No, it's good.
Did I cut off Mr. Ben? I hope not.
No, I can hang for a few minutes. I just told my boss I'm talking with Richard Hatch on the phone. He kind of looked at me.
Oh, and he
like,
gave you the
sure.
approval. Wait, he
no,
gave you the thumbs up. Richard Hatch is on.
Yep.
You are good for 2 hours, buddy, at least.
He asked me to ask Richard if he has any good stories about the Don's hair. We can get back to that one.
Wait, what does that mean, Richard?
Everybody's always wondering what the heck's up with Donald Trump's hair. And the truth is, I've known him for quite some time. I used to work in his building when I worked for the early show. And we would see each other in the morning and talk, and we've been to events together. He invited me to sit on the dais at the Friars Club roast that he had, and I did. And, you know, I was in his office when I hosted Live with Regis. We did a skit, and I rode the elevator up Trump Tower naked and hung out in Donald's office.
Get out.
What he owned city from his window. So, you know, he and I have a little bit of a history, but when we were filming Celebrity Apprentice, we weren't allowed to talk. And I like him. You know, we disagree on a few political things, but I respect him, and he's a bright, bright man, and I think he would be open to conversations about our differences of opinion politically. That's just the kind of guy I think he is.
But wait, Richard, because, you know, I, like, absolutely adore you. Before we even had the privilege of being able to hang out with each other, I just truly adore you. But, like, I followed you all the time. And, you know, one of the things with Trump was that he wanted to help you out when times are tough. Is that true, or was that just, like, a kind of political or media thing? Did he try helping you out? Did he reach out to you in that time of need?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, John Rich was the first call. I mean, he's such an amazing man. I mean, the second
things were going wrong,
he's the first person to place a call to me and say, what can I do? I mean, he was just, you know, wow, it meant a lot. What an awesome, awesome human being. I did see or learn about in the media Mr. Trump saying, we'll look into it. But I don't know. I was in jail, so
okay.
I don't know. He looked into or didn't look into, and I know how bad these folks in Rhode Island that had me in prison are, and so I don't know that anyone could have done anything. It's awful, you know. You really there's no way to communicate just how little rationality there is behind what corrupt people in power do. And when they're in power and there's no oversight and they have their own, you know, psychological issues, they don't have any compassion, and they may actually not listen to anybody who's you know, trying to step in and fix whatever might need fixing. So to answer that as quickly as I can, I don't know if Mr. Trump did anything behind the scenes or not, but I appreciated his having expressed support for me and having publicly acknowledged that he was going to try and see what he could do.
Great. You know, like, I'm sure you realize in life, Richard, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So I'm sure that's been probably an anthem that you've dealt with. What is it that you are doing now? I mean, you have achieved so much. You have gone through so much. And, you know, sometimes they say, you know, you need schooling. I think basically what they say, street knowledge is best than ever. What is it that you're taking over now that you want to talk about? Because we'd love to hear what you have in store, because I can only imagine what's
in
your future.
A few really kind of fun things that seem to be coming together really, really well. And I'm grateful and I feel lucky. You know, an advertising company from Sacramento, California, called me and brought me out, and they've branded me to a particular product. Like Flow is branded to Progressive, and Robert Wagner is branded to reverse mortgages and things like that. They've branded me to IRS problem resolution.
Oh my God, that's awesome!
I love it.
A
national,
you know what?
No
pun intended, but guess what? That's something that's going to be happening from now till our children's 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 children. So, you know what? If you can't laugh at yourself, Richard, what the hell can you do, right?
And, you know, people can go to irstaxsurvivor.com and they can learn about it. More than 30 million people owe the IRS more than $10,000. And so these folks will help these people get that handled. You know, they don't want to, you know, people ending up with these things lingering and the IRS bullying them at some point. Not that they would bully them the way I've been bullied, because they're
right.
Particularly went after me for a reason, but you know, the notoriety thing, but still, you don't want that lingering over your head. And the fact that 30 million Americans, more than that, owe over $10,000, so there's quite an audience. But that's just one thing. I'm also shopping a couple of shows, and I can't talk too much about one that's already been bought, but I can tell you some of the things that you might find interesting. For example, I was a sperm donor.
We love it. We love it. Spill the Beatles.
And I don't know. That I must have donated for 2 years, maybe three times a week in college. And my biological kids have begun to find me. And that's pretty
so
awesome.
Flipping awesome. Like, that's
pretty
outrageous,
any,
right?
Any ideas? Any
any idea of the numbers, or are you just waiting?
Well, we're waiting. I didn't even have a donor number, and I do now. There's something called the Donor Sibling Registry, that which is how these kids have found me, and they're involved in whether. And I think they've got another guy on there who has 77 offspring that they've found so far.
Oh my goodness!
Oh my God! Do you have an idea of how many it could be? Like, is it like more than 10?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I would assume so after donating for.
Exciting.
But I've met two, and it's been phenomenal. You know, they're just phenomenal.
Wow.
And you can't write these stories. I mean, I donated in Virginia, and my daughter was born and raised in Maine, never knew she was donor conceived, and she just spent the last 4 years and graduated from Salve, living 100 yards from my front door. I mean,
Oh, my God. Shut up, Richard. Salve Regina in Bristol?
Newport, Rhode Island. Salve Regina University?
Shut up.
Oaks.
Yeah.
That's
pretty
wild.
Life out of everywhere weird. In the country or the world or whatever she could have been. I mean, we weren't even... I mean, anyway. So that's just one of the things.
That's
then
so
there's another
creepy.
Show on
I got
Shop.
Goosebumps all over.
No, you can't even make that stuff up, you know?
No.
Aren't you doing a local show there for Rhode Island also?
Well, I am. Let me tell you about this other show I'm shopping, then I'll tell you about the Newport show. This other
Perfect.
Show I'm shopping called I'm on a Boat right now, and it's a cross between Bear Grylls' Man vs. Wild and Mike Rowe's Dirty Jobs. And I'm the host, and we're on boats all over the world, luxury yachts, speedboats, lobster boats. My dad was a lobsterman, and we're exploring uninhabited islands, diving with whale sharks, doing all kinds of cool things to expose kind of the boating life. And
that's so awesome. Who's on that with you?
Well, my co-star is Rachel Riley, who you might know.
Oh, my
God. From Big Brother. That's right.
Cool.
Representing Big Brother, you guys. Rachel Riley and Richard Hatch. Are you serious right now? That's amazing.
Yeah, and then like Dirty Jobs, there's a camera guy and the executive producer guy, and they're both kind of cast members, too. And so we're in talks about that. It hasn't been sold yet, but I think it's, I mean, it's just, we've got interest, and it's a great concept, and we'll see.
That's cool. I like that.
And then
that's pretty awesome, Richard.
Had you met Rachel before, or was Reality Rally, did you get to talk with her there, or how did that happen?
Oh, no, Rachel and I have met and talked a number of times, and then I encountered her out there, but the executive producer came up with the idea. I didn't have anything to do with until they said, you know, could you work with her? I was like, oh, I think that would be all right. I think we would. Given the concept of the show, you know, it's scripted, and so she'll pick on me, and she'll be portrayed as kind of the, you know, like Tim the Toolman Taylor had.
No one gets between me and my Richard Hatch. That's all
well,
I gotta
you know,
say.
Maybe. Maybe mm-hmm. Rachel won't make it. Maybe we'll have to bring Michelle in, frankly. I mean, you know, it could be a little more Rhode Island, maybe, now that I think it through more. Maybe I see who I can talk
to. What are you talking about, Richard? I mean, I don't know what Rhode Island I got in me. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my gosh. But so, like, Richard, honestly, like, you know, you have taken, like, mega steps and it's probably been such like a whirlwind, you know, of everything that's happened. And, you know, your partner that you've had that's stuck through you through all this hardship. I mean, I'm sorry, but I think that he needs to get an amen, too, because,
you
know, it's kind of like being in Hollywood. You know, you think, oh, how the Hollywood person, if they're going to make it. And he's stuck through it all. So I think he needs to get a Manic Monday Award.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I mean,
so Cherry was asking about the show that's being done here, too. There's one more show I'm involved in, and that's...
Ooh, I want to know. Am I involved? Wait, am I there? Am I involved?
Same one that Louie is in.
Is it?
Yeah, oh, that's right. PBS, yes. Talk about it.
So this artist, William Height in Newport, has painted hundreds of actual live Newport people over the years, and he's really... a talented guy. And they got this concept where they've taken his paintings, and from the painting of actual people, they kind of pan out into this scripted half hour or whatever it is episode. And so
and these are
the
historical
show will be based on his paintings and about kind of Newporters, but, you know, made up stories. And so I'm part of that, and they've cast the series, and they've started to film, and it's pretty exciting. That's an actual.
So when do they start filming this?
Well, we've already started filming little pieces of different episodes. My involvement, I'm going to have my own episode, but I'm also going to be like a Hitchcock character because I'm from Newport, so I'm going to be in every episode somewhere.
Oh, lovely.
Cool.
That's great.
These are local historical figures. Is that correct, Richard?
Historical. They're local, real people. Whether they're, you know, some of them may not be alive anymore, but many of them are. Whether they're firefighters or they're known here or whatever, they're just real Newporters that have fascinating stories.
Know,
and then writers make.
Louis is Obler. Doing a guy that was a cobbler. What is your guy?
Exactly, Louis Stravato is doing he's been cast as one of those people, a cobbler. Well, there are some things I can't quite talk about, like what characters I'll be playing.
Ooh, I love it. The secretiveness of it.
I'll also be playing myself.
Because
I am a Newporter, so I don't have to be the cop.
I think yourself is fantastic. I think that's all we need is yourself.
I have a long history here in Newport, having grown up here spearfishing and, you know, on my dad's lobster boat and all kinds of cool things.
Gosh, you know how great it is to hear it? Because, you know, this show that I'm doing right now, Richard, I really haven't talked to you much about it, but, you know, I actually started off doing the show after I got off of Big Brother. And the gentleman who actually started the show, his name is Ron Razwitz, or Rad Ron, he was actually the one that invited me to do the show after I was on Big Brother. Well, exactly a year from Thursday, he died at the age of 40 with a heart disease. And he would have been elated to know that you would have been on the show. And so what happened was I talked about it with Cherry and Paul, and I said, you know, I never did anything like this before, you know, opening up this window of, like, being on the reality show, which for me was way more than just being a reality show. I wanted to help out and help people and just continue making, you know, a point to point out these things that are left quiet at times, and people like us, we have a voice and we can raise it. And he would have been so happy that you were on, and it would be a year on Thursday that he passed away. So I'm just so happy that you came on. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Because I know you have a lot of things going on in your life, and you know, I know that, like, you know, you have so much going on with all the bullshit. People don't even realize this Rhode Island fucking corruption. It's such fucking bullshit living in the state.
Hey,
but
yeah, we have another caller, if we can get another caller in.
Okay, yeah. If Richard can stay on, absolutely.
What's up with 38 Studios?
Oh, yeah, 38 Studios. Ooh.
Yeah, who knows?
I don't know if Richard wants to talk about that. It's like a bad subject. Ooh.
Okay, all right, never mind.
Cindy, thank you so much for calling Manic Mondays on the Rad Reality Show. How are you today?
Good, very good. Hi, Paul. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michelle.
Hi,
Rad. I'm from Rhode Island.
Another
hello,
Rhode Islander.
Yeah, Rhode Island, representing.
It's run by the mafia and corrupt police.
That's right,
judges.
Girl.
Except for Louie.
All
for
right,
Louis.
I know she passed the interrogation. Okay, she's from Rhode Island. What's your question, girlfriend?
Louie. Rich, do you have to live in Rhode Island, or can you move out of the state?
Oh no, I can move. I can. They don't have any hold over me that way anymore. They have my passport, so they won't let me leave the country. Which is, you know, just cruel and unnecessary. And so I haven't seen family members now for more than 8 years. But But I can live and move anywhere in the states I want. I have no conditions of supervised release anymore. I'm done with that.
So I was
so
just wondering.
How long have they had your passport for?
They took it when I was in trial, and there's nobody that could claim I was a flight risk. I came back from Argentina to face the first indictment, then back from Canada to face the second. I've done my time in a minimum security prison. You know, I never even did anything yet. It's crazy. They just are bitter. You know,
you haven't had your passport since then. Like, you can't even go, like, apply for it somewhere else and get a copy of it, or...
Yeah, that's
funny. It sounds ridiculous. To me, it sounds like a game.
Yeah, this is what, you know, power, you know, people who aren't fair and just, when they wield power, they just abuse people. But I think at this point, if I, like, let's say I have an option to go back on another show or get some kind of employment overseas or whatever, I think I could request it and get it returned for some legitimate reason like that. I'm not sure. You know, I'm going to make a request to visit family. I've complied with everything they've ever asked, so I think they may let me. I don't know. I don't know what's behind their decision to hold it to begin with. There's no reasonable justification for having done so.
So we'll see.
Well, you know what,
so
is it something like that you've asked to, like, have you tried to go out of the country before, or
I don't feel
like dealing with it?
After I've did my sentence, I was invited onto Survivor twice, and they fought it and refused to return my passport.
Shut up, really?
That's really
interesting to know that. That's pretty messed up.
That's
the guy
just
who was my
mean.
Redemption Island was Rob, and he won. So, I mean, I would have won, clearly.
See, I'm surprised they didn't let you go. You could have, like, you know, they knew you would have got another million.
Yeah,
so they have more reason to sue.
Well, maybe Survivor needs to bring it to America, because you know what? Some people, like, obviously their passport's getting hidden, so let's do it Survivor Rhode Island and see what happens.
No, they need to do it. The U.S. edition.
That is
tradition.
Richard, would you go on an all-winners Survivor?
You know, I would take each request and think it through first, but I think that would be an interesting idea. You know, it would level the playing field in some ways, but I don't know that all the winners would make the most interesting game, because all the winners aren't necessarily characters that people remember or would want to see again. So I'm not sure. I'd have to think it through.
I still don't know why they don't do it in the United States. There's plenty of places for them to go. It would cost them so much less money.
That's true. It's true.
Give you guys more money.
Yep.
Listen, guys,
right.
It's been a pleasure. But
I'm
going
to get off the line. Nice talking to you. Bye.
Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you so much. And, Richard, I think you were saying something before.
Yeah, I was saying it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on. But I've got to start thinking about moving on.
Okay. Richard, thank you so much.
My
I just wanted to ask one
Richard.
Quick question. How is your son?
Oh, he's good.
Great.
He's good. My adopted son, not my biological kids, is in his last year at URI, and he's doing all right.
Great. I'm glad to hear that.
Well, Richard, thank you so much. Honestly, you have been my idol. That's like the reason why nobody knows this. I'm going to reveal it now. That's why I applied for Big Brother.
Just
because I always said, like, hey, Richard Hatch won, and there's somebody from Rhode Island. Because you guys don't understand, being from Rhode Island, it's like the littlest, tiniest place, but it's amazing to live in it. And, you know, it's not always good and bad, but it is what it is, and, you know, you make the best of it. So, Richard, you actually gave me the... the forefront to try out for Big Brother. And thank you so much for coming on. Do you have any last words you want to say to our listeners?
Yeah, you know, it's been a pleasure. And I challenge you all to keep an open mind. Remain skeptical. Don't listen to the bull crap. Think for yourselves. And it's been a pleasure. Cherry, Paul, Michelle, it's always a pleasure. You guys have a great night.
Thank you. And if you ever have anything you're promoting, you're always welcome to come back on the show and join us anytime, Richard. We've enjoyed it.
Thanks, you guys.
Bye, Richard.
Bye.
Night, night.
Wow, what a great guest.
That was
cool.
What an amazing guest.
You know, that just shows you, honestly, I'm sorry to cut you off, Ben. It just shows you honor, integrity, really what it comes down to the basis. Like, this person has been through it all and still emerging through it and helping and wanting to aid and knowing what is going to be continued on from this to the next point. And so thank you guys all. Yeah, awesome. So, oh gosh, so awesome.
Michelle gets a three-pointer on that one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Epic show.
Well, that was cool. My boss was actually listening to some of that. But I'm going to jump back to work here. It was nice to talk with you guys. I hope everyone's doing well. And I will see
you
all
again.
Thank
you so much, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
Love you, boo-boos.
Love you too, girl. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye, Ben.
All right. So, oh, my God. Paul and Cherry, let's just talk about it for like one last minute, and then let's continue to finish off the show. But what are your last thoughts on Richard? I mean, is he not just to the T, Redick?
That was very fun, very informative, and such an easy interview. I mean, there is so much happening in that man's life now and in the past. That's not a hard one at all, and it was so fun. And he is so special because he was the first, and that to me, you can't ever replicate the first winner, you know, of those shows. So that was really cool.
He has such a great outlook on things, and he's so articulate. Like I said, I always liked him in season one, so I was never one of those Richard Hatch, you know, the people that didn't like him to begin with. But to hear him speak and talk about the things he's gone through and hear how he's still so upbeat and giving back and doing the things he's doing for his community and for charities and still has such a great attitude towards life after they've ripped him through the mill and back. And to have the attitude he has, I just think is so commendable. It's amazing. You know, he could be very, very bitter.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, Trey and Paul. You know what? He came on the show, you know, blind, just like he did to Survivor. Blind. No idea of who was real, fake, just like every one of us that's listening right now, Cherry, Paul, all the people in the chat room. We've been through this fake, right? Amen?
Yeah, I'm fake.
Amen.
Oh. Amen.
And, you know, he put it on Front Street right now. He put it on Front Street. This man went on 12 years ago. How times have changed. How looks are different.
He laid the road for everybody else that went on Survivor.
Mm-hmm. What's cool, what's not cool. What was cool is cooler, you know. So what I'm talking about today is look at what we're representing. Look at what we're here for. Look at what this man went through. I mean, come on. They've said everything about him. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, people. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Take that. You take that. And what we're going to be talking about next Thursday, which is going to be Ron's 1 year, we're going to skip over Monday. And why? Because we decided that we want you to stick with your family, friends, lovers, loves. Why is it Memorial Day? To remember, to acknowledge, to get it. Who's there for you?
That's
all right?
Right.
Amen.
I can't believe it's been 1 year.
1 year, people. You can't believe it? Question it.
All right. Let me,
that means
let
time
me
has been flying by. It means things have been going through your mind that you put to the side. Things that Paul wants to say right now. Go ahead, Paul.
No, I was just trying to clarify that are we announcing on the air the upcoming shows, the schedules? If so,
yeah, we're canceling Monday.
Okay.
Okay. We're doing this. Why?
Because
if everybody remembers, he died on Memorial Day, which was.
It was the 31st
okay,
of May.
No.
And you know what? We want everybody to spend the time with their family.
No, I agree.
You know what I mean?
Just. Yes, I
do. We don't want you to spend a minute. I got to go. We want you to spend time.
So update us really quick, Michelle, before you got to leave. Anything new happening in Ms. Costa's world?
You know, for me, bringing Richard was such a big thing because I have something to say. You guys remember when we started off with the show, what would Ron say? And then we had true or false with me. True, Richard Hatch was on. What would Ron say? What the hell is happening? This is awesome. I love the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah.
All right? Right?
Yeah.
So we're not forgetting. We're
lapping
memory, intertwining, making it work.
Michelle is waxing philosophical now. Hey, guys.
We are going to have some people on who helped Ron get his show started. It's going to be a wonderful show. I'm sure Paul will have some clips to play, and we will just have people coming on that just want to talk about remembering Ron. And anyone that wants to come on and share your memories of Ron, we hope that many of you will just call in and talk about Ron. It'll be Ron's night, and just our time to remember Ron. We invite you to do so. We hope you will join us that Thursday, May 31st, Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. Join us with your memories of Ron. And we will have a few special guests as well. So.
Okay, wait a minute, though. We are also, Cherry, going to have, even though Survivor's over, are we still having our reality, whatever we, round table,
rally,
whatever.
Round table. That night will be Ron's night.
I'm talking about
this Thursday we will have reality round table, yes.
Okay, thank you.
At 10
all right,
p.m.
guys.
Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, reality round table. We'll be talking about Mob Wives and the finale of the Celebrity Apprentice and all of those kinds of shows that are on right now or just wrapping up.
Thank you so much, Cherry. Like, we're going to be wrapping up a lot of shows, and Cherry told you guys what's going on. Make sure you guys are there. Make sure you guys are representing when needed. And I just want to say, Cherry, Paul, thank you so much, because without you guys, like, you guys are making sure the clips are going right, the clips are the audio, the switchboard, everything. And great job tonight for Richard Hatch, which I don't know about you guys, but I think off the meat rack. So can we give everybody a hands of applause to Ms. Cherry and Paul for making a night fantastic? And also to our chat room and everybody that's listening.
And here's for Michelle.
What? Possibilities are endless. Love it. Possibilities at endless, people. And you know what? Bring it. You're like a photographer. You need the negatives to develop. And I've talked about that numerous times here.
That's right. And that's a great saying. I love that.
And I love all you guys. And you guys represent Mr. Richard Hatch tonight. Thank you, Paul. Thank you again, Cherry. Thank you, listeners.
Thank you,
Richard Hatch. Let's finish off the show. And make sure you guys are back for Mr. Ron Rad's show of remembrance. Take it away.
Okay. We do want to say to Dina, you're in our thoughts and prayers, and to the rest of our Rad Reality family, thank you for joining us. We always want to keep our Rad Reality family in our thoughts and prayers. Thank you for being here with us, and I will close tonight's show, as I always do, with Ron. We open and close each and every show with Ron. And I do want to mention also that we will be switching gears on Thursdays from Survivor to the Reality Roundtable until Big Brother starts up. So if you have shows that you want to talk about, come to Thursday's show and call us up, and we'll talk about those shows. We'll be having open discussion about reality shows of all types, so if there's something that you want to talk about, call us up and let us know. Here is Ron closing our show for us tonight. Thank you all for being here for this epic show with Richard Hatch. Good night, everyone.
So thank you guys for stopping in. But I do want to say some other stuff real quick. I was thinking about, like, today, about how much we've had so many people that have been faithful callers to our show. But I thank everyone that has been part of the show and is still part of the show. But, you know, I want to say thank you to you guys. And the reality, people, that, you know, I do this for you guys, and I hope you guys enjoy it. I'm going to go ahead and close it off tonight, and I appreciate everyone.
I'm going to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in. God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
One other person I want to mention tonight before we close the show is one of our Rad Reality family, Mr. Phil. He is still going through a lot of pain after his surgery, and we just want to wish him a speedy recovery. He's been going through a lot of pain, so keep Phil in your thoughts and prayers. We wish you the best, Phil. Take care, everyone. Be kind to each other. Join us again on Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, for the Reality Roundtable. We'll see you there. Take care and be kind to each other. Love you guys. Bye.